You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
God bless football, Billy Gill.
God bless football, Mikey A.
God bless football, Stugatz.
God bless football. It's over.
I mean. Yeah. Oh. Well, not yet. I mean, sort of. It is over, but...
Well, what do you mean, sort of? USFL? Is that what you're...
No. I'm just saying, we have a game that happened. We got to recap the game. We have some guests on today. We have one guest that I'm really, like, interested in talking to, and we have Golic.
Golic?
Yeah.
And we have Golic.
Yeah.
Well, who's the guest you're interested in talking to if it's not Golic?
Well, so we'll recap the game with Golic. Everybody's recapping the games, right? And then we have an expert in ads and commercials coming on to tell us about Super Bowl commercials, which ones were good, which ones weren't, are they worth it, are they not, which one's the best. And I feel like, Stugatz, maybe we can put together the perfect commercial with the commercial expert. What do you think?
They might need our help. They weren't great this year.
No, they weren't great. A commercial for what, though, Billy? What do you want to put it, like, for God Bless Football, or?
I mean, we can never afford a commercial. Let's not pretend. No. When's the last time that you guys remember there being, like, a great Super Bowl commercial? Because here's what I'm wondering, right? And maybe it's not the case. But I'm wondering, is it just because I'm getting older that I just think that the commercials aren't good? Like, have I lost that, like, wonder in the world where I'm like, oh my God, that's so funny, or oh my God, that's so great, because I'm just, like, old now and have, like, responsibilities. So, like, I see a commercial, I'm like, eh, dumb, I didn't like it. Or are they just not good?
I think they're just not good. And you're not old, Bill. Like,
no, but I'm definitely older. Like, I feel like, you know, I'm not...
Yeah, I know you're older, but you're not old. Like, you're 30-something, man. Like... Yeah, you're in the wheelhouse. You're in the demographic still.
I don't know.
It's adults 25 to 54. It's in your demographic. That's what they're going for.
I haven't been super impressed with commercials for the Super Bowl lately in the past couple of years. I can't think of the last one that I was like, wow, that was, like, awesome.
I'll be honest with you guys. I've never been into them. I've always... Really? Yeah. I've never been into them. I feel like the ad is kind of... It's never been something that's really interesting to me. Even while reading 1 million of them in my lifetime. But I just never really have been into Super Bowl commercials. I mean, I'd have
I'll
to
bet
go
if
back
you could
all
bet
the way.
On them, you would.
What was that?
I'll bet if you could bet on them, you would.
Well, that would certainly enhance my interest in them. Like, just like sports. I mean, listen, betting makes horse racing fun, you know? it makes dog racing fun. Makes anything fun. Yeah. How do we gamble on commercials? What do we do? We should do that. That's a good idea.
You should figure that out.
It's the next frontier. In commercial gambling. How's this going to end? I like that. Oh, yeah. Hey. How'd you guys enjoy your Super Bowl Sunday? Billy, you tired from Arizona? We were out in Radio Row in Glendale. the entire week. And I'm certain, and we just did our show, and I'm certain you have to be a bit exhausted. You just let out a massive yawn. So,
yeah, I mean, I'm a little tired. I mean, so I we go and we have like a family party, or whatever, right? We go over to my cousin's house and he sets up. He has this giant inflatable like projection screen that he bought to like show his, like, I guess they have movie nights with his daughters in the yard. I don't know. It seems like if I was their neighbor, I'd be really annoyed with, because I'm sure that's really loud if they do it with any regularity. But the past couple of football seasons, he's done that for the Super Bowl. So we go, we sit under a tent and look at that, like the game on the screen, right? And we basically just waited until the halftime show was over. And then we went home to put my daughter to sleep. And I watched the end of the game. I told my parents, like, if you guys want, you can come over and see the end of the game. So, like, I missed half of the third quarter because I was driving. But I feel like I didn't miss much. I mean, the fourth quarter was really where the action was. But yeah. I don't have, like, wild, like, Super Bowl parties anymore or anything like that. Not that I ever did, but.
No, I like a good night at home with the wife watching the game. I could focus on the game. I did focus on the game. Did like you? I had a friend who had a party that had valet drivers and a DJ. No. You want to know what party I'm not going to on Super Bowl Sunday? One that has valet drivers and a DJ. No. Love my friend who threw the party. I'm certain they had a blast. Just ain't for me. Is that fair, Mikey?
The only people that are allowed over my house are people that are going to shut up and watch the game.
Right.
Really? That's pretty much it.
Right. Exactly. Hmm. Right. Just give me some silence, man. Let me focus on the game, you know?
The valet drivers at a party seems like an extravagance and like, oh, wow, look how like we're accommodating you, like valet drivers. This is great. But it's like, then I have to wait like an hour to get my car. I have to tip this person. Like, I could just walk to my car. I could just Uber. Like, if I'm at an event that has like valet drivers, I always tend to leave early to not have to deal with like everybody getting their car at the same time, you know?
Correct. Yes. It also means you've invited too many people. Like, if you need a valet driver and not everyone can fit in your driveway, you've invited too many people. That's what I'm saying.
Not only that, if I pull up and I didn't know you had a valet driver, all of a sudden I'm like, oh man, I don't carry any cash on me.
Exactly.
I don't want to be the ass that doesn't have a few dollars to give the person. So I got to start trying to spend the whole party worrying about where am I going to get a few dollars to tip the valet guy when he picks up.
I'm not joking. Like, that's happened. Like, I've been to doctors lately that their parking lot is so small that they have valet drivers. It's like complimentary valet. And it's like, I don't need this stress in my life. Like, I don't have cash on me. Then I'm going to have to look at the valet driver when they come back. And it's like, sorry, like, I don't have cash. What am I supposed to do in that spot? You know what I mean? You know what I end up doing? And I shouldn't, and I'm risking getting towed telling you guys this. I go and I park like three offices down, and then I just walk down the street and go to the office, and I look for like a place that doesn't have valet drivers.
That's a heady play. You could just be honest and be like, I had no idea that there was valet here now, and I don't have any money on me. Like,
I don't like being put in that spot by my doctor. I'm just gonna say
I don't like it.
And I don't listen.
Blood pressure goes up.
Uh-huh. Right? No, I understand. And I just don't like being honest. So it's like, we'll break down the game with Golic here coming up. Mikey, hey, what was your Sunday like? Did you enjoy it?
It was good food, and it was a couple of people that know how to watch football and shut up and comment and yell about bets that they lost.
Hmm. Excellent. So we have an update, any sort of update. Aaron Rodgers enters four nights of darkness tonight. I'm told anything could happen on the other side of four nights of darkness, including you wearing a Jets uniform when you come out of it. Do we have any update on what the Jets are doing? Because that's what this offseason is all about, who the Jets are going to land at quarterback. I know they hired a coach. I'm not certain. Yeah. It's a coach that has attachments to certain quarterbacks. I'm not certain that coach has the attachments that I want to the quarterbacks that I want. Can you provide me with an update, please? I just want fucking Aaron Rodgers. I mean,
they've officially started planning for Plan B. They hired Todd Downing to be their passing game coordinator.
Right.
And the hope is, I guess, if Rodgers doesn't want to come play with Nathaniel Hackett, that Ryan Tannehill will want to come to play with his former OC, Todd Downing.
All right, or Derek Carr, right? Doesn't he have some sort of relationship with Dowling?
I don't know. I personally think they should just go get Eric Bieniemy and try and get Mahomes.
Mm. That would. Wait, so what happens if they don't get Rodgers? Is Hackett gone? Like, what happens there?
I don't know. We gotta get a run game coordinator and see who that guy ties to.
This is so Jets, Billy. Where I'm telling you, unless you know someone that knows the guy won't come there. So the Jets are getting guys that know all the free agent quarterbacks, and then they'll have to fire the guy. You know, like if they don't get Tannehill, this guy's gonna be out of here. Okay, like that's it. Ryan Tannehill. I don't want Ryan Tannehill. I don't. I want Derek Carr or I want Aaron Rodgers. Preferably Rodgers. Second would be Derek Carr. Would you want Tannehill, Mikey, over Zach Wilson and what we have now? Tannehill.
Yes.
Over Ryan Zach Tannehill.
Wilson, yes. Yes. Oh, over Zach God. Wilson. Yes.
You take he's anyone over Zach
fourth,
Wilson.
He's probably fourth on my list of guys right. realistically they could get.
All right. God, I hate our organization.
Oh, it's terrible.
Right, right. We just can't sign people on our own merit. We have to get people that will vouch for us and make them feel comfortable about being part of this stink. I mean,
they're like that friend in college that keeps telling you to go up to girls and talk them up. And then when you finally turn to show the girl the guy, he's standing behind the couch and he's just looking creepy. And you're like, you know what? Forget it. Just go meet somebody else. Thank
right.
you.
Right. Billy, are you rooting for us? Like, is there any – you're rooting for the worst case scenario, aren't you?
No, I hope that –
he's rooting for content.
He's rooting for Zach Wilson. to stay with us.
I like you guys. I hope that you get Aaron Rodgers. Like, I feel like it'd be a Jets situation where it wouldn't work out somehow, but I hope you get Aaron Rodgers. Like, what happens, and I don't know why I'm making this longer than it already is, but what happens if, like, Aaron Rodgers finds enlightenment, like, on day two? Is he then, like, a hostage? Like, he's trapped
Is he stuck there for an additional two nights?
Yeah.
How will he know it's only day two?
Got it. Figured it out. I'm good here. Like, let me out, or you just kind of have to see it through?
It's a good question. I don't know.
How will he know it's day two?
That's, I don't know.
Well, how will he know it's day four?
Yeah. Somebody's got to come get him.
That seems like
if you figure it out on the first night, you're right. You should probably skip the other three. Like, I mean,
this is what I'll bet he's like 12 hours in, and he's like, it's probably only like 5 more minutes. It's probably only like 5-10 more minutes.
It seems like an absolutely
feels like 4 days.
It seems like an absolutely horrible experience that the Jets would be like, wow, this is an awesome situation to be in because I'm not just sitting in a dark room for 4 days.
Things never happen this easily. And good things like this never happen for us. They just don't. They don't happen for us. So this is going to be, we're going to be stuck with Tannehill. He's going to be our quarterback next year. Holy shit.
God damn it.
Kim.
Stop cursing.
I'm sorry, Bill. I'm in a sour place right now. Dowling. I'm certain he's a nice guy. I'm sorry for taking out 40 years of misery on him. I'm sorry. I'm certain. And Tannehill would maybe be the best quarterback we've ever had. And I'm including Joe Namath.
Well, he doesn't crack top 10.
Broadway Joe.
Broadway Joe doesn't crack top 10 jet quarterbacks of all time?
Yes. No.
You have 10 jet quarterbacks better than Broadway Joe? That's taking the takeout way too far, Mike. You can't name 10 quarterbacks better than Joe Namath. I dare you do it right now.
Len Foley.
Yeah. You're already done.
Chad Pennington. Geno Smith.
Pat Ryan. Tom Tupa. He was a punter.
Tom Tupa. Oh, he took Tom Tupa from
Vinny Testaverde.
Zach Wilson.
Mike White. And Geno Smith. Mark Sanchez. We left out.
Bryce Petty. Kevin Clemens.
I draw the line at Clemens. Clemens was not better than Joe Namath. All the other names I'll give you. All right, we're just entertaining ourselves. Let's get to Mike Golic. He was on the sidelines for Westwood One. Call in the game. I'm interested to speak to Golic here because they'll have great insight on the field, which was a sloppy, sloppy, slippery track. Okay. Golic was right there. He was on that field to give us an update on that. And then I love being on the sidelines, Billy. You know what you get on the sidelines? You get all the inside chatter, conversations. Mm. You get to hear it all, you know? Now, I know Golic wants to be in the booth, but I prefer Golic on the sidelines. You know what I'm saying, Bill?
Yeah.
Inside info. Let's get it from our guy, Mike Golic Sr., right now.
Greg McElroy.
Damn it.
A lot's changed over the years. One thing that hasn't, the great taste of Miller Lite. Another thing that hasn't changed is that it's less filling. So what is the best thing about the original light beer? Miller Lite sparked this debate in 1975, and we still haven't settled it. Oh, 1975, what a time! We're a couple years removed from landing on the moon. I bet in the next 3 to 5 years, we're gonna have someone on Mars. And what is this, a personal computer? Oh, this is so complicated. Thankfully, Miller Lite keeps it simple. Undebatable quality. Great taste, only 96 calories. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/GBF. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Stu Gatz here for my friends over at DraftKings. The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA, with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boost, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason winds down, and if you are new to DraftKings, you got to check this out. New customers, bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. I love bonus bets. Who doesn't? The conference semifinals have some great matchups. You have the Knicks and Pacers in the East. You have the Nuggets and T-Wolves in the West. Oh, it is just getting good. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use code LAF. That's code LAF for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5 only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
I'd ask how your private jet was, but it was a fucking private jet.
Yeah.
Yep, it was good.
That's how those go. I feel like, and this is going to sound weird, Stugatz.
Yeah,
I feel like I wouldn't like a private jet.
You would?
No, I think it'd be too like tight and cramped. Like I'd have to walk like hunched over. I don't know that I'd like it.
You would enjoy the private jet I was on. You would enjoy having the entire jet to yourself.
Were you alone?
I was. It was me and two pilots. You would enjoy the snacks on a private jet, and you would enjoy not having to get your bags after the flight is over. You enjoy all of it, Bill. Every single second.
What do you mean not having to get your bags after?
You know, the bags just, you know, they have transportation set up for you. The bag is in the car by the time you get off the plane. That's it. That's what I mean.
Oh, so you had a car.
No baggage claims, no walking through the airport, nothing.
Well, I take all my stuff carry on anyways, just because I don't want to pay like $30 to check in.
Right.
So.
Well, here they carry it on for you.
I can carry things.
I can carry things too. I've done it many a time.
But I don't like it.
Billy, you don't have to go through security, no TSA, nothing. You just show up, and whenever you show up, that's when your plane takes off. But before you show up, there's a waiting area that has sandwiches, that has real food, free food, and it's good food. And you can bring as much as you want onto the plane with you.
Okay.
And so I took a couple of turkey sandwiches. I took a turkey roast beef and an Italian sub. 4 sandwiches.
Okay.
Some snacks. And I fell asleep. And it was delightful. It was a great time. And I got to Syracuse. Now, here's the other thing, Bill. These jets go a lot faster than your commercial jets.
Do they?
So what normally would have taken 4.5 hours took me about 3.5 hours.
You got from Arizona to New York in 3.5 hours?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. What's not to love?
I had a connecting flight that I almost missed because there was something with like the parking mechanism or brake or something. So we were sitting just staring at like the terminal. Like they said we're 50 feet away for 20 something minutes, and I had a connecting flight.
Right.
That left 40 minutes after that, so it was quite stressful.
I'm sorry to hear that. You could have
fly private next time.
He should. Yeah. Or, you know, Billy, I think you would have gotten home quicker had you flown to Syracuse and then flown from Syracuse to Miami. I think that would have worked for you.
I don't think so. I mean, I flew
3.5 hours. I was there.
Yeah,
take a little directy down to Miami. You're done.
That's like 7 hours when you combine the two.
How long did it take you?
It took me. I took off at like 4:50 ish and then I landed like 12:45 more or less.
All right.
So, and then
stayed in Syracuse with me, you know.
No, I'm good. I like my family too. I wanted to see them.
You don't want to see my family.
To Syracuse. Yeah. That's nice.
Yeah. You don't want to see my family.
Mike.
Not really.
Mike, that would have been a good one for the blanket when you came on. It would have been a good one for the blanket.
Oh, off, my
dear. It was
good. Can't help it. It's my look.
I understand.
Yeah. Hey guys, if you guys need a God Bless Football XFL correspondent, I would like to submit my resume.
Oh, there we go. That's right.
Juju, the job is yours, okay?
Okay.
Boom.
Yes, it pays nothing, you get no expenses.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Enjoy it.
But we will use you all the time.
Yes, yes. We'd like you on call 24/7.
Where are you going today, Golic?
I am golfing over Scottsdale National.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. Oh,
look at you. With who?
Yeah. One Darius Rucker.
Right.
Oh, okay.
I'm about to lose some money to him.
So. Right. Well, what's your handicap?
My index is 13, I think.
Well, what's his?
Way better than that, but obviously he gives
so
me
he should
strokes,
be giving
but...
you like a shot a hole then.
Oh, no, no, he does. He gives me that, but I'm too inconsistent. He plays a lot more. He's consistently good, and it's like in a game, you get to the late in the third or the fourth quarter, it just starts rolling up on me a little bit.
Right. Now, are you doing like a sponsored event here? I feel like you're getting paid for this round of golf.
No. Well,
you
no
should
money
be.
For this guy.
You should be getting paid, though.
This is just a wind down from the week of work, you know, and I thought he was leaving. He was here for the week, and he just texted me yesterday and said, I want to golf tomorrow. And I said, yeah, okay.
Stadium course?
No. We're going over Scottsdale National, which is a.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's like 5 minutes from my house, 10 minutes from my house, which is nice.
You're big time. Be nice if Darius came on the show once in a while, Mike.
Well, we said if the Dolphins were doing anything, we'd get him on. I'll get him on.
Well, they were doing things all season. We asked you to get him on.
If they made the playoffs, we'd get him
we
on.
We said to make the playoffs because you don't want to, you know, you gotta hit it right with him, get him on for a big moment, not just a regular season.
But they made the playoffs.
Yeah, but they were never going to be a...
they almost won that game. I mean...
Whatever.
What a ridiculous
I'll work
response.
On it. I'm slowly building up to bring these guests.
And what happened to Roger Goodell last week? I mean...
I saw him on the field yesterday. We had a nice conversation.
Did you really?
Yeah. He said something about Stu and never be on the show. I don't know. Something like that. I stopped listening.
So. How does that help us, though?
Yeah.
How was your second Super Bowl ever, Mike?
It was great. I'd rather be in the booth. Don't get me wrong, because I've done that all my life. But being on the sideline, being right there by everything, and literally listening to the conversations when players come off the field, like when Jalen Hurts fumbled the ball, you know what's going on the sideline. You know what's the talk and for injuries and just being right there to see everything is pretty cool. The part that was different for me the first time I did it last year is. Running on the field when it ends, trying to grab players for interviews, you know, because I put myself in the players' position to be like, I don't want to talk to anybody now. I want to celebrate, you know, and you're trying to grab guys.
But you have to do your job, right?
Yeah. So I talked to Creed Humphrey, who, you know, the old line was the star of stars of this game, you know, one of because they held Philadelphia sackless in this one. So Creed. He was good to talk to. So, and then I always go interview. Always second year. I then go into a room and interview the losing coach. So I talked to Nick Sirianni for a bit.
How was he after the game?
You know what? He was actually still really good. I mean, he was really thoughtful with his answers. And you know, the year before I did Zach Taylor, who was very good as well.
Right.
But Nick got into feelings a little more about what they were shooting for and such and what he told the team, you know, and he said, listen, only one team can win this and we're unbelievably disappointed, but you know, you build on it. He said all the right things, but dude was really emotional before the game. If everybody saw, he's crying during the national anthem, which was phenomenal, by the way. Mm-hmm. Phenomenal. Chris Stapleton was just
crushed it.
Fantastic. And God Bless America was that baby face. He was really good as well.
Yeah.
Just a fantastic voice, both of them. The Rihanna halftime was the show was really good. I had a hard time understanding with the acoustics because they had so many speakers and everything out there. It was just blaring so much. It was hard. I don't know what it was like on TV, but it was hard to
understand. She did great. Yeah, she did great. It was,
the show looked spectacular.
Yeah.
It was just so loud. You just couldn't make out a lot of it.
Mike, if you wouldn't mind, take us there. Like when the Jalen Hurts fumble happened, you're on the sideline there. You're listening to that conversation. What are they saying?
So it was amazing. That's the thing, Stu. There was no conversation. Nobody went near him. And it wasn't like, we're not going near you. We're mad at you. It's just like, hey, it happened, but we know, you know, you're the main part of us getting back in this game or winning this game. You're going to have to be the man. It was like nothing happened.
Right.
You know, and then he walked over to the old line because I was standing right there and was just like, hey, my bad. And my lot of the right guard who had jumped offside on the short yardage play,
right,
you know, before that, they chatted a little bit about both their mistakes. But that was the thing. Everybody remained very calm and cool about it. Like, okay, that was a bad mistake, but, you know, we'll make up for it. And boy, what a game, especially the second half.
Mike, what's that like for a team to have a quarterback like that? Because there were really no losers last night, which is astonishing when you consider we're always looking to blame someone for something after these games. And perhaps you could blame the referee for a ticky-tack call at the end of the game. And I think that's what people are doing. Or perhaps there's some criticism of the NFL and the field and how slippery the field was at the game. But you had both quarterbacks pitch nearly perfect games, you know? And so the Hurts fumble was a bad mistake. But what does that do for a team when you have a quarterback who has that kind of confidence where it's like, hey, I made a mistake. Sorry. Let's not talk about it. Let's move on. He follows that mistake up with a touchdown, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's why nobody said anything to him. Nobody went over there and said, keep your head up. It's cool, you know? He was fine. I'm sure he was pissed at himself.
Of course.
But I mean, mentally, he was fine. And I hate to, you know, go against what you said when you say there were no losers. Yeah, there were. Just ask some of the Eagles. I mean, they were devastated.
Right.
You know, they had a 10-point lead at halftime.
Yeah.
And amazingly enough, the comeback for Kansas City came by running the ball in the second half, something that the Eagles normally do incredibly well. They just start leaning on you with that run and wearing you down. And it was Kansas City running the ball well, which so much helped the passing game with Mahomes and the play action because Pacheco was running really well. But he's such a hard runner.
He is.
Pacheco ended up averaging over 5 yards a carry. And that was really what got them going was the fact that they could run the ball. And that offensive line pitched a shutout to the Eagles a pass rush that had, 78, 79 sacks. Including playoffs, and I attributed it to three things. First and foremost, you have to give credit to the O-line. Wiley played a hell of a game at right tackle against Hassan Reddick, but they all did to get goose eggs. Second is the fact that Mahomes was still able to escape. And third, and, you know, again, this is just, it's a reason, it's not an excuse. There was a lot of slipping going on in the field on both sides now. So it wasn't just, and the sacks, the two sacks the Chiefs got, because remember, they were second in the league in sacks at the end of the regular season with 55 to Philly 70. And the sacks were Jalen Hurts running out of the pocket and running out of bounds. But because it was a zero yard gain, it's considered a sack. Whoever ran him out of bounds, those were the two sacks. So even Kansas City, which was second in sacks, wasn't getting to Jalen in the pocket. Though, in all honesty, they were putting on better pressure than the Phillies D-line in that. But it was a shame about the field because I was right next to C.J. Gardner-Johnson, the safety for the Eagles, during warm-up, and he was making some cuts. And, I mean, Stu, he kicked up a divot that any golfer would be proud of.
Before the game.
Wow. This is in warm-up.
Right.
And, I mean, I'm literally 2 feet away from it. He's walking back to it. He looks at me, and I look at him, and he's like, wow. And he signaled to one of the guys on the field, go get me and my different set of cleats. So he changed cleats in pregame. Others went in and changed cleats before they came back out for the game. But it was still slippage. And remember, this is a field that grows outside and then gets pushed into the stadium.
Sure.
In mass. I mean, it just gets pushed 100 yards, 110 yards gets pushed in. So I think there's the wonder, as it's growing outside, are roots able to set deep and enough to where the grass isn't coming up? And I don't know what the field looked like on TV, but as I said on air, I said, down here on the field, it looks like I played an entire round of golf and never replaced one divot. I mean, that's what it looked like.
Right. It looked great on TV. I think that's part of the problem.
Yeah,
people weren't criticizing it because the field looked so great on TV. It's not until the announcers started talking about it to where it became an issue. But you're saying this was a pregame conversation
that many
of the players were having.
Yes, and both teams were complaining about it. I mean, there were plays where right off the ball, the D linemen were slipping and falling down on a pass rush. You know, so that negates everything. It was wild. And I actually talked to George Toma. For those that don't know George Toma, Google George Toma. George Toma handles the fields. He handled the fields, the groundskeeper, and he has a sweatshirt that says the Sod Father.
It's the best.
He's handled them for every Super Bowl. And I was talking to him. He's 94. Guys, after the game, I'm sitting waiting to do my last hit on radio. George Toma, 94, walking with a cane, is picking up trash on the sideline.
I love him.
And so I went over and started talking to him. He first started working on fields. It was in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, minor league baseball team. He was 13 years old when he first started working on fields. And then it went all the way through. This was his last Super Bowl and his last game. And I know people are ripping the field. Not his fault. I mean, they grew what they grew. He doesn't grow it.
Right.
And the roots can only set so much in this thing. But it was a shame that there was the slipping the way it was.
So the Sod Father was doing his job right up until the last moment.
Unreal.
Amazing.
This dude's using his cane to pull out empty bottles from under the bench at 94 years old. This man's a legend, and he was picking up trash.
Mikey A, can we get Tom on, please? I want him on God Bless Football with Mike Golden.
He's unreal.
Yeah.
And let me tell you what.
But Mike, I feel like he's dodging some criticism here. If you're the Sod Father, you have to make sure the field is okay. I feel like that.
I was saying that for him. I'm sure I didn't ask him about the grass. I just wanted to know about him. I mean,
we'll just have to ask him on the day of his daughter's wedding.
Yeah, exactly.
So I asked him if he was going to. I asked him if he was going to pull a Tom Brady and retire and then come back, and he said no. He's walking away for good.
Right, Mikey. Yeah, get him on, please. Mikey, you had a question for Golic here.
Yeah. So a big thing for us going into halftime was Mahomes going to be able to come out and play? They showed scenes of him on the on the sideline screaming. Do you think if this isn't the Super Bowl, he comes back out?
It probably depends on what's on the game. If you have something locked up, is it early in the season? I would imagine that would have a lot to do with it. If it's early in the season, probably not, so you don't prolong the injury. But in this case, again, he played on it. I mean, as I said before that game, anybody who says they're 100%, show me someone who says that. I'll tell you someone who hasn't played a lot all year. Nobody is, but it's obviously the most important position out there. And we were all wondering how it was going to come out in the second half. You had extra time, probably to get maybe more IV in him, whether it was a cortisone steroid, something that was kind of an anti-inflammatory type thing. Did he take a shot? Now, I don't know if he would. So here's the fear. Listen, and I took a shot in any part of the body I could to play. And I've no doubt most people would. Why I'm not sure, maybe they did it before the game, I don't know, but why I'm not sure if they would do it at halftime, because it's a high ankle sprain. Because you go low ankle, you could tend to, numb your foot, and then you're screwed. I'm not sure what kind of chance they would want to take at halftime, and again, I don't know any of this, to try and shoot it at halftime and run the risk of it numbing his foot. Because then, I mean, you are screwed. Just think of having a numb foot and you're trying to run around. So I don't know if they did it at halftime or not. I honestly do not. And who knows? If we'll know at some point, I'm sure. But you can give IVs and you can give things that are kind of anti-inflammatory to keep the swelling out of it. That used to be what we did all the time, getting tortle shots before games all the time, which they don't do anymore. But you can get IVs with that. And since you have extra time at halftime, I would imagine they did everything they possibly could to help that out.
It was odd that he was limping when he was walking, but not when he was running.
Yeah, exactly. Which could lend you to say maybe he took the needle.
Or he wasn't that hurt, maybe.
Or it's one of those things. Know when you have something and you tweak it, how for that first minute it hurts like hell.
Okay.
And then it starts to calm down. It could have been something like that as well.
It could have. Strangest part of your body that you've taken that shot, like
my heel.
Really?
So I cracked my heel in practice one week.
Oh.
Actually running, I was the end on field goal team in Miami, and we were practicing a fake field goal where I ran around into the end zone, and I caught the ball and I stepped real hard and I cracked my heel, and we went to play Cleveland that week. And it was right before the game, or I was in the locker room before I went out for a warm-up, and I said, Doc, shoot this. He said, no, go out in warm-ups and see how it feels. I'm like, I'm telling you, it's going to need a shot. He said, well, I want you to do warm-ups first. I'm like, okay, fine. I walked out for warm-ups for 5 minutes, came back in. I said, hurts like hell, shoot it. He's like, okay.
So you wanted to get straight to the sack, Golic.
I took it in the heel again. It couldn't be a lock because so it didn't nail my whole foot and make my foot numb. It was just my heel. They were very good at it because – when I was in Miami, too, I broke tore cartilage in my rib the first game of the season and ended up taking the needle 13 straight weeks before each game in the ribs.
Right.
But, man, the shit works. Let me tell you that. If you do it right, you know, and not what happened to Tyrod Taylor, you know, where they – because I was getting that shot up right between my ribs, right in the area where he was.
Uh-huh.
Wait, Mike, I want to make sure I heard you correctly. There was a play for you to be like it was a fake with you as the wide receiver?
Well, all right. I shouldn't say fake. You know, if you're the end on the field goal team, you're eligible receiver.
Right.
If it's a bad snap, a muff snap or something like that, they yell fire, fire, fire. We won't know it until we hear fire. Then we know something happened with the snap and I have a route I'm supposed to run. Right. That's what we were practicing.
And you caught it in practice.
I caught it and hurt my heel. What an athlete. Huh? I listen, I relive my tight end days in high school.
Were you a good tight end?
I was All-State, yeah.
Really? How many
All-State
grabs?
Linebacker.
How many grabs did you have? I didn't know this about you.
I had 20-some for a few hundred yards. You know, we were more a running team.
Couple of tutties, anyway. Right?
Yeah. It was fun, though.
I figured, like, I'm surprised you didn't play quarterback. Now that I'm thinking about it, because a lot of these...
I did play quarterback.
Did you? Really?
My freshman year, I was a quarterback and middle linebacker, and we ran the option.
Right.
So I was running the triple option and I was the biggest player on the team.
Golic coming around the corner.
Yeah. The only problem with me keeping the ball, there was never going to be a long touchdown run because I was never fast enough. I was always going to get caught.
What was your longest run? Do you remember?
Oh, I mean, it was probably 20, 30 some yards. I mean, but I eventually, I even know I'm going to get caught in our state playoff game my senior year when I was a tight end. I caught a little dump pass. And I was free. I was running. It was like at our own 20 it started. And I'm running and I see my whole sideline cheering. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't know why you're cheering. There's no f-ing way I'm making it all the way to the end zone without getting caught. And sure enough, I got caught.
This guy can only go 20 to 30 yards. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, going to need the oxygen after that.
Do you remember your longest pass play? I am fascinated here, Golic.
I honestly do remember, though, passing in as a freshman, being in the pocket and getting blindsided and knowing what it feels like to have all the air leave your body at one point. I got hit so hard from the blind side, my body just snapped, and I was just laying on the ground going, I mean, I couldn't talk. All the air was out of my body, and I'm like, that really hurt.
Was that the moment you decided I want to do that to somebody?
Yeah, I was said I really would rather hit somebody than get hit. Exactly. Much better being the hammer than the nail.
Mike, what I meant by, you know, nobody lost less, and obviously the Eagles lost, and I know there'll be criticism, and I think a lot of it's going towards the referees. It's rare where you have a game and you walk away from the game like Sirianni and Jalen Hurts. I'm more impressed with them after that game, even in defeat, than I was before that game. Like, Jalen Hurts was phenomenal, and Sirianni... Man, he's got stones. He goes for it on fourth down, any place on the field, and you know he's going for it. And he's like, hey, I got four downs to get 10 yards. And that makes play calling a lot easier for his offensive coordinator.
Yeah, you could definitely tell by the play calls, especially on third and whatever it is, that when they're going to go for it on fourth down. But you're right. I mean, you know, Jalen, coming when he came back from the shoulder, didn't have a couple of good games, right, in the playoffs. It's not like we were like, oh, Jalen's back, the MVP candidate. He did in this one. That one throw on the out route to Goddard that they replayed that was just over the fingertips to the one defender was one of the best passes I've seen out of any quarterback. It was fantastic. And it was. Listen, this was a great game. So it leads me to ask all of you, did you think that was the right call, the holding call at the end, which basically, because of when it happened, that ended the game?
It's hard to argue when the player himself says, yeah, it was a penalty. Yeah. Do I want it called in that spot? No, because I want to see Jalen Hurts with the opportunity to drive the field and bring his team back. It's ticky-tack in that situation, but I guess when the player lends his voice to, yeah, I was holding, it's really hard to argue. That won't stop him in Philadelphia, though, Mike. They'll still argue, even with the player, right?
Oh, well, and the issue is really not so much that call, because, listen, he not only grabbed his jersey, he then hooked the hip. So, I mean, there were, if the ref was going to let the jersey grab go, he then couldn't let, you know, actually two kind of holding situations happen. The issue is, and this is all players want consistency. There was some tough coverage earlier in the game that they were letting go, that they weren't throwing flags on. Right. So that's the only point, because would I have rather not seen the flag? Yes. Do I understand why it was thrown given what happened? I was standing right there. I understand the flag. The problem was there were other physical plays in the game where a flag didn't come out. And that's, players want consistency. If you're not going to call it then, don't call it now. Or if you're going to call it then, call it, you know, throughout the entire game. So that was really the only issue that I had. I mean, in a vacuum, that was a penalty.
Right. Especially when the player lends its voice to it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
There's all arguments.
Yes. Right. Like, and you could see him on the field. Right. You know, it was, his reaction was more, shit, I got caught, right, than, oh, that was a horrible call. You could tell his reaction right away.
Any issues with, listen, the Chiefs did, they stripped us of moments, but the Chiefs did what you're supposed to do in that spot, which is why Sirianni, incidentally, values his timeout so much and was so upset he had to burn one earlier in the half there. But Andy Reid taking a knee in that spot, not going for seven, basically milking the clock down to 8 seconds left and kick a field goal. No issues there, right? Won the game.
This seventh round pick from Rutgers, Isaiah Pacheco,
is amazing.
Hits the dirt, could be walked into the end zone right now. Again, what was talked about, I'm sure it was talked about, but just to have the wherewithal to do that and know I can go into the end zone. At that point, Philly was like, go ahead and score.
Yes.
You know, we got more time on the clock, and he slides and takes that knee. That was a fantastic, fantastic play and a smart play, because it is a shame. I mean, you sit there because everybody's going through. If they don't make that holding call, Philly burns their timeouts. KC kicks a field goal. We're figuring out time-wise, you're going to have about $1.30, $1.35,
right,
down three with no timeouts. I mean, that's what everybody wanted. That's what everybody felt that game deserved, and we didn't get it because of that call. And I think that's obviously, we're looking at the totality of it. That's the shame of it.
Spoiler alert for people who are upset about it, I'm one of them. Jalen Hurts would have driven them down the field and scored seven. Like, he was having that kind of game. Yes.
Well, see, that's always the interesting part, is do you go down and play for the tie or you play for the win? Obviously, it depends on the plays leading up to it and how much yards you're gaining. But, I mean, we almost feel like this game deserved that type of ending.
Of course.
Considering, you know, it's a 10-point lead at halftime for Philly. We're all going, uh-oh, this is Philly's type of game. Third and fourth quarter, they're going to start leaning, start pounding. And it was Kansas City who came out running the ball, and it worked effectively. But yeah, that's the ending we all felt we should have got and we didn't get.
So Mahomes, two Super Bowls in his first five seasons, five AFC championship games. Mike, put that in perspective. Like, he's got five more to go before he gets to Brady. But Brady has set the bar at a ridiculous level. It used to be four with Montana, and now it's seven with Tom Brady. But Mahomes' first 5 years is certainly having as good a start to a career as any quarterback in NFL history.
I mean, listen.
He's amazing.
This guy, two-time MVP, two-time Super Bowl MVP, leader in passing yards two of his 5 years, five times in the AFC championship game. This is the first playoff game. I believe this is right. It's the first playoff game he's worn a white jersey. I mean, they've always been at home, or the home team in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
It's been incredible what he's done. So the amazing thing is, if he were to stop playing football today, he's played, what, 6 years and started five, he'd be a Hall of Famer. There could be nobody that could tell me that he wouldn't deserve to be in the Hall of Fame.
Sure.
I was riding back after the game with Kurt Warner and Kevin Harlan, who we were doing the game with, and Kurt Warner's like, this guy's 27. He has accomplished more at 27 before I even made my first start in the NFL. I was older than he is now. And he has accomplished all this already. And that's when Kevin said, would he go in the Hall of Fame right now? And Kurt said, if I'm in the Hall of Fame,
that guy would be in the Hall of Fame right now. No questions asked. He said, without a doubt. So, yeah, that's the fun thing to talk about, right? But it's longevity. He's got a lot of years left to go. And listen, he's going to be around for a lot of years. You got to stay healthy. We know Tom only had the one major injury missing the season. So what will it be for Mahomes, who runs more, who moves more? You know, because we all – listen – Patrick Mahomes already, from an athletic and physical standpoint, is one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game, right? From that standpoint. So now, because it's the quarterback position, what hardware do you put along with it?
He's right up there with Jim Plunkett and Eli Manning and some of the other guys that have two Super Bowls, right?
I mean, not only two Super Bowls, but getting to the AFC Championship games, throwing for the yards he's done, MVPs all along the way. I mean, he's checking all the boxes. Right. Now you just have to do it over a – Tom Brady has set such a ridiculous bar. I know. But, you know, it gives shows like this something to talk about.
I was being a dick there by comparing him to Eli Manning and Jim Plunkett. Like, he's better than that, right?
You know, it's so amazing that you trying to be a dick, you can't tell when you're trying to be one.
It comes so natural.
It's kind of the natural thing, yeah, yeah.
Thank you, Mike.
He's in the same class as Chad Henne, though, Mike. You can't argue that.
Yeah.
Retiring, huh? How about that?
Yeah, sad day. I know. Mm-hmm.
Wow, it's a sad day, right?
Well, he's concerned he would have to play. I mean, with Mahomes' ankle, he doesn't want to play. He wants to hold the clipboard, that guy. Listen,
Chad Henne and John Elway both go out holding the Lombardi, right?
Yeah. Right. They went out exactly the same way.
Right. Now I'm being a dick. Sorry. You're rubbing off on me, Stu.
You have a great relationship with Andy Reid. He was on the show on Friday. I used your name to get him. And we were the only show in America to have Andy Reid on. So now that Andy has his second Super Bowl, Mike, like on a personal level, I know how much you care about the man.
Yes.
I know how much you respect the man. So how'd you feel for Andy Reid after last night's game?
Listen, I love the guy. Very happy for him.
Yeah.
I was still amazed in Philly how, and I get how everybody loved Buddy Ryan because he was a hard-nosed dude, and that's Philadelphia, but we never won a playoff game. And while Andy was in Philly a long time and went to a lot of NFC championship games, you know, they were happy when he got released. And I'm like, this guy just wins, you know, he just wasn't winning the big one there. And now he's doing it in Kansas City. Listen, he's a Hall of Fame coach. There's absolutely zero doubt about that. And he's just a good dude. I love the guy. And I actually had a line about him. Do you know on that second or third red zone touchdown pass, kind of the in and out, the side of the receiver in motion, and then he didn't come across the formation and went back out into the corner of the end zone, and it was the easy touchdown pass. On that play, Andy Reid was coming down the sideline trying to call timeout. He wanted a timeout. And the ref didn't see him. The play went on, and it was a touchdown. And I saw Andy doing it. And as I said on air, I said, listen, Andy wanted to call a timeout. And I've known Andy for years. We're good friends, so I can say this. The reason he didn't get the timeout is because he can't get out of second gear, getting down to the referee to call the timeout. So he didn't get down there in time. No timeout, touchdown. I said he just turned around and was like, okay, cool.
I mean, you and Bradshaw just taking shots at Andy Reid's wish.
Well, no, come on, waddle on over here. I mean, what the f*** is that?
That's Bradshaw not giving a shit anymore, Mike.
You're right, but that wasn't cool.
Yeah, but yours wasn't cool either. I think that's what Billy said.
You made him sound like an idiot trying to call a timeout on a play that resulted in a touchdown and then said he's mine not fast
was, enough. Mine was, I'd like to say, loving.
Yes. Well, because you have a real relationship with him, I'm not sure that Bradshaw does, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah.
No, Billy, he does. Like, they're good friends. I mean, Mike can say it, you know?
Yeah.
I don't feel like Bradshaw can. You could even say the Waddle line. You wouldn't say it. You would not say it, but you could say it and get away with it, I feel like.
That's very, very true. Very true. I think if Andy would give me a bit more of a pass, maybe, than Terry.
All right. We know you have to run, go play golf with Darius. You're a big shot at Scottsdale. But quickly, as a former Eagle, you feel very, very good about the future of your team, right? Like, you don't feel any differently today than you did yesterday about the next 10 years of your team with that coach, that quarterback.
No, I don't. Not the coach and that quarterback. And we'll see about the rest, because you got to keep some pieces around you, obviously, right?
Yeah.
So, and a team changes every single year. Even for the Super Bowl team, Kansas City, they know the next, when they meet in OTAs, it'll be a different team. So who do you keep? Who do you lose? The Eagles have a decent amount of free agents that they're going to have to deal with. So, I mean, that's something that's going to come into play soon. So you have to be planning for that. I'm looking at it right now. Javon Hargrave, Fletcher Cox, Miles Sanders, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, James Bradbury are all Marcus Epps, Suamalo, the guard. I mean, these are all free agents. So, you know, they have some work to do, just like every team, and to see what kind of you'll keep your core together and then what are you going to build around it.
Last question. On a scale of 1 to 10, how happy is Mike Golic that everyone's getting the hell out of his town? I mean,
oh, I'm a 10. Mike's over here doing hits for other shows he's doing. We had construction all around our house, and they weren't. Quite honestly, it was the Waste Management Open, the WM, that was causing more problems for me because that's 10 minutes from my house. But all the road closures, you couldn't get anywhere. I'm like, thank God. But I'll tell you one thing. I'm also right by the Scottsdale Airport. The amount of private jets that were leaving today was unbelievable flying out of there.
I want to thank one of them for giving me a ride.
Yes, yes, I bet you do.
I don't know whose it was.
Beautiful thing.
It was somebody's.
The beautiful thing.
So you're happy. You're happy everyone's like, get the f*** out of here. Get out of my tent.
Yeah.
Go home.
Yeah.
Go to your
exactly.
homes.
Let's get this back to normal. Yeah, exactly.
Did you collect all the checks? There was a point on Friday I walked by you. I heard you do the pork rinds plug. And then like a couple hours later, I heard you fighting obesity. So did you collect everything?
Not yet, but it's all is in transit.
What a week you had, huh, my friend?
I mean, it was pretty nice. It was pretty damn nice.
I'm tempted to guess, but I don't want to guess. I mean,
don't worry. I'll just give you. I'll keep that one to myself.
Could you have paid for my private jet to Syracuse?
Oh yeah.
And back.
Yeah, probably.
You're an ass. Hell of a week, though, my friend. Congratulations.
It was a hell of a week. It was a lot of fun. I'm glad we all got to hang out for a bit. And
yes.
Next year we get to do it in Vegas.
Yes, we do. You are my Super Bowl MVP. You are.
There we go. And all I got to say, everybody out there, start planning now for the Super Bowl. It's 364 days away. Let's start planning now.
I wonder who you're aiming that at. Okay.
Oh.
Get out of here.
Oh, I'm just throwing that into the ether. Anybody who wants to grab it, go ahead.
Same weekend every year. All right.
Absolutely.
Mike, enjoy the round. We appreciate you coming on, recapping the game with us. And a lot of news coming up. We have four nights of darkness. We'll see how that goes. And then we'll talk to you.
Oh, my God.
We'll talk to you on the other side of his four nights of darkness, okay?
All right. Sounds good. Like I said, all I get there is a good night's sleep.
Okay. See you, Mike. Janine Poggi oversees Ad Age's technology and media coverage, as well as the publication strategy for new editorial products. Fair to say you're the expert on Super Bowl television commercials. Is that fair to say?
I've been doing this for over a decade and know like useless facts about Super Bowl commercials that I don't think anyone really needs to know. So if you call that an expert, then
really?
Yes.
Really? I'm interested in like give us some interesting facts that none of us really know about, Super Bowl commercials.
See. Super Bowl commercials. So, I mean, if you look at this year's one, like a fun little fact, if you watch the T-Mobile commercial with Bradley Cooper and his mom. So that commercial was not started out that way of them doing the outtakes. They kind of showed up on set and started doing a table read and it all moved into just becoming outtakes, and then T-Mobile decided, hey, let's go with that. That sounds fun, and move that way. So, we spent a lot of time here at Ad Age kind of learning the ins and outs of the Super Bowl ads, how they're made, what goes on behind the scenes. So a lot of that kind of information.
Are Super Bowl ads worth it?
Yeah, I mean, look, you're talking at a time where very few people are watching TV all at the same time, all in the same place, live, and watching the commercials, right? So, you're watching Netflix, you're watching any of these other services. For the most part, you're not watching commercials. You're either skipping them or don't have them altogether. So it's the one place where brands can reliably still get a massive audience all tuning in and actually caring about the commercials.
Janine, you're the expert, so I'll leave it up to whatever metric you want to use. What is the most successful Super Bowl commercial of all time, in your opinion?
Oh, all time, man, you're putting me on the spot.
Or since you started doing this, at least.
Okay, I mean, look, you know, you have some big ones, Puppy Mucky Baby, the Budweiser Clydesdales. Like, these are iconic sort of, you know, Super Bowl ads that people remember. They remember the jokes. They, you know, remember the animals or people featured in it. I think when you think back to some of those, the Darth Vader Volkswagen commercial, those are iconic storylines that, you know, most people still remember.
Gene, I think Billy's question is a fair one from this regard. You're right. This is one of the few events we have where all these people are watching at the exact same time, but there are so many Super Bowl parties going on that you have no idea how many people are paying attention to your commercial. So again, it does beg the question, is it worth it?
That's fair, but think about all of the chatter and conversation that happens in the weeks leading up to the game, right? Everyone's on social. People are tweeting these commercials out. They're talking to the brands themselves, right? The brands are like out there conversing with consumers. They're talking to each other. So there's so much social play that also happens. You know, it's not just watching this on those 30 seconds on the screen. You're on YouTube watching the commercials. So there are lots of other ways to actually view these things outside of like the bar or house party that you're at.
So one of the most talked about commercials this season was the Tubi one, where everybody thought that they accidentally changed the channel. Is that an effective commercial for Tubi? Because I know Tubi now. I don't know that I will go download Tubi or subscribe to Tubi.
Yeah, anytime you get a commercial where people are actually stopping and like, what was that, right? And they're asking the question, what is that brand? I don't know it. Let me go look it up. Like, what just happened? I mean, I turned to my husband last night, like, did you just sit on the remote? Like, as I'm freaking out working, like, what did you just do? Which I think is what we are seeing a lot of people did last night. I mean, if you remember the Coinbase ad from last year, there was a lot of people who did not know what Coinbase was. And all of a sudden you have this QR code bouncing around on the screen. Whether or not you actively became a Coinbase user and started using crypto or not, right, you knew what Coinbase was after that. And I think that is the mark of a successful Super Bowl ad, driving brand awareness.
Can you get, there's a reason I'm asking, and I also think people would be interested, but can you give people an idea of, if you agree to run a Super Bowl ad, when that ad needs to be sent to the network to run on time for the Super Bowl?
Yes. Now, there are plenty of brands that, you know, the day after the Super Bowl airs, they are already planning for the next one, right? And they're thinking about their ad buy and they're thinking of concepts. Mm. There are some, though, that final ad is not getting in the hands of the network until the week of. That doesn't mean they haven't showed them iterations of the ad. That doesn't mean that, you know, they don't know what the creative concept is. Like, most of that is fully, you know, fleshed out. But the actual final spot, there are edits being made and all of that, you know, during that week of.
Because someone on our show, the reason I asked was, things are moving so quickly and messages are changing so quickly these days that it's hard for the TV networks and the commercial and the ad agencies to keep up with social media. Is there anything to that, where maybe you produced a spot 6 months ago intended for this year's Super Bowl, but things change so quickly now that the spot you created doesn't really fall in line with where you need to be in terms of messaging? Is that a fair thing to say?
Absolutely. And that has become even more of a concern, focus in the last couple of years, right? Between COVID and planning for COVID and going through that phase. And then, you know, just things that have come after. I think there's been a much more of a focus on trying to plan closer to air date because you don't know what is going to happen. If you remember the Planters Mr. Peanut ad from a couple of years ago, where they killed off Mr. Peanut.
Yeah.
It came, terrible. Their social promotion came right at the time of the death of Kobe, and they had to go back and actually take out some scenes and change some scenes to be sensitive to everything that went on. And that was happening right up, you know, until that last weekend. So yes, absolutely. That is something that all brands are definitely like really, really concerned and paying attention to.
So yesterday in the sports world, because we cover sports and football, was our Super Bowl, obviously, but it was also your Super Bowl in the ad world. So walk us through what your Super Bowl is like in the ad world as opposed to the Super Bowl in the sports world.
Yeah, I mean, look, we are starting thinking of the Super Bowl really in the fall. Like NFL season starts, we are already like thinking about what brands bought ads in the game, who's in, who are the newcomers, you know, what trends are we going to see? But that day of, like, we are all on Ad Age, like on Slack, like talking from the morning of, seeing what spots we do view most of the ads before they air in the game. So we have seen typically 95% of the ads, even if they're not pre-released. So a lot of it is writing our reviews and getting those ready and just like being prepared for any surprises. That's probably the thing that gives me the most anxiety. Like, what ad is going to surprise me that like I didn't know about, or there's some change or anything like that.
Is there like a all-time bust ad that you can think of that like you were looking back and it's like, oh my God, there's expectations for this and it just led to nothing?
I'll actually talk about one this year. I think that's every year. I think more often than not, especially in recent years, that has been the case. But I think the M&M's commercial this year is a really interesting one. You know, we were given this like 3-week stunt leading up until the game, right? But from the beginning, first M&M saying that they're, you know, putting a hiatus on using their spokes candies. Obviously, there was the conversations around the Tucker Carlson and his commentary around the spokes candies and the M&Ms. Then that moved into them naming Maya Rudolph as their spokesperson. And that went into like all the places the spokes candies are now moving to, what M&M is going to become the spokesperson for Snickers and like working for eBay and this whole social media stunt that they did. Then Maya Rudolph was going to change the M&Ms to clams, clam filled M&Ms, like all of this like stunt that they did. And then we got the commercial in the game. And if you are not working at Ad Age or are really into the Super Bowl commercials and you are not following that stunt, you are not going to get that 30-second ad that was in the game. Right. And I think M&M's underestimated how many people would really be paying attention to that whole storyline and, you know, really following along.
So are there ads like that in the past that have been like, this is a long-term play that doesn't necessarily culminate at the Super Bowl, but maybe we drag it out like a month after the Super Bowl, and this is just kind of like a centerpiece that brands have just bailed on because they're like, this just isn't working?
You know, I haven't seen too much of that where it's like the long play. Yeah. It's really much more on like the couple of weeks leading up to like that social buzz. I think Planters, again, going back to that Mr. Peanut one that I mentioned where they killed him off, that was similar in nature. Like they killed him off a couple of weeks before the game. They like resurrected him during the game. And it's really a commitment by the brand to say like, my consumer cares about this and is going to be invested in this storyline and knows that we're doing this, right? Like is on social and is following, you know, our social handles and following along with this story. So they're not as frequent, but I think it's a big ask by a brand to ask consumers to follow along.
But in the case, Janine, of M&M's, they're such an established brand. Does it really hurt them that some people, that they missed the mark with a lot of people on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it just falls flat, right? You're still investing all of this money into something that you want to stand out. And when, you know, it fell very low on the USA Today ad meter, it was like very far towards the bottom, which is unusual for an M&M's, you know, Super Bowl ad. So you're still investing all this money. You want it to land, right? Like it may not hurt the brand, but it's not going to do any favors for you either.
I'm not an insider. I'm not in this industry. I did not know that the USA Today had an ad meter, and I absolutely love that there's an ad meter. What is the ad meter, and what was like at the top of the ad meter?
Yeah, so the ad meter is a place where people reviewing the ads can go and vote on like their favorites. Oh. And then USA Today puts out the winner, you know, on the day after, and the winner this year was the farmer's dog, the dog commercial. That was for a dog food brand. So that was the winner.
If we wanted to book a spot, could we do it right now? Like if I wanted to place a commercial in next year's Super Bowl, could I do that right now? I'm just thinking about an idea here.
If you have $1 million you want to spend and, you know.
For $1 million right now, I could call the network. I have no idea who's calling it next year, but I could call the network right now and for $1 million get a 30-second ad.
No, it's $7 million for a 30-second ad.
Yeah, but how about for the early buyers? I mean, you know, like,
so if you do like a pregame, if you do a pregame spot, if you do a postgame commercial, if you only want to run in one market, maybe.
Okay. Wait, a million if I want to run in one market, you're saying. I want to get a God Bless Football commercial into the Super Bowl next year.
It'll never happen. We couldn't even
a feed. I'm sorry.
What's the most desirable spot to put an ad in the Super Bowl?
Usually right after kickoff, like that first spot right at the beginning of the game is a desirable one. Heading into halftime is another attractive one, especially if it's a big, you know, halftime performer.
So I have an impossible question for you, because we had Andy Reid, the coach of the Chiefs, on with us, and he's a big cheeseburger enthusiast, and we had him create the perfect cheeseburger. So I would like to, as a group collectively with you, create the perfect Super Bowl commercial, and it'll be catered obviously to your likes and dislikes. So what should our product be that we should be promoting in our perfect Super Bowl ad?
I don't know about the product, but what you should have in a Super Bowl commercial is dogs and babies.
Really? No, celebrities.
Or celebrities.
Celebrities are important,
so,
or no?
You know, look, I mean, almost every brand had a celebrity this year. And I think for the most part, many of them sort of just blurred together. But interestingly, the two ads that were at like the top of the rankings this year were that Farmer's Dog and then Amazon's ad, which has a dog, and it was like the star of the ad. So dogs and babies, historically, animals of any kind tend to do well.
So here's what I'm thinking. But the problem is now we're kind of having contradictions, and it's going to be hard, because I'm thinking dogs and babies sell, right? Celebrities sell. So what if we do celebrity dogs and celebrity babies together, right? But then, like, who's one of the biggest spenders? Beer companies. But we can't have babies and dogs selling us beer, right? So then what do we take out of that equation?
We've had dogs sell beer before.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
The Clydesdales.
The Clydesdales and the dogs.
The Clydesdales and the dog. That's one of the most memorable. Yeah.
All right.
And Spuds. I mean, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, what you got now, Billy? Huh?
Well, no, I guess. Then I mean, well, we have to find a way to sneak a celebrity baby in there, right? Is beer like the biggest seller? Is like the biggest spender on these ads?
Well, it's interesting because Anheuser-Busch gave up its category exclusivity this year. So they were the only ones with any sort of alcohol beer ads for decades. They gave up that category exclusivity. So this year, if you notice, for the first time, you had Molson Coors in there. You had Remy Martin, Crown Royal. So it actually was a different kind of alcoholic beer category this year than in really most prior years.
How much was category exclusive? How much is it?
Cost. I mean, they've been grandfathered in for decades, so that cost is hard to nail down.
So how would you overall this year's? Because I feel like the great Super Bowl commercial is dying a very slow death. I do. So how would you grade this set of commercials from the Super Bowl yesterday?
I would actually agree with you. I think you're right. I think the great Super Bowl ads are becoming further and fewer. There just tends to not be as many that like really stand out in any given game. The last like 3 years, I think it really, people want to play it safe. Like brands are so concerned about either alienating consumers, upsetting consumers, just like wanting to entertain and be humorous that they're like playing it safe.
Who's like the Steven Spielberg of the Super Bowl commercials? Like the person that you'd go to year after year and say, this person is going to get it done.
Yeah, there are a couple. I think this year, and who he's directed a bunch in the past is Brian Buckley. He directed the NFL spot, which did really well this year, and Avocados from Mexico.
That was great.
He's an often relied upon Super Bowl director.
How does nostalgia play in? Because I felt like this year they leaned a lot on that. We had John Travolta singing Grease. We had all of the metal, you know, Ozzy Osbourne and all those guys. And then we even had the Diddy commercial where they brought in all the old 90s acts. And I was liking it, but like my nephew was like, "What? Who is that guy?"
Yeah, I think that's something too, like that brands have really been leaning into is this idea of nostalgia. You see, they even did like the Alicia Silverstone, yeah, bringing Clueless. Back Clueless.
Yeah,
there we have Popcorners. They did the Breaking Bad.
Zoolander.
There are definitely Caddyshack and the Michelob Ultra ad. So there is a bunch of elements of nostalgia in there. It's really like just a way to entertain Super
Feels
Bowl
lazy players. To me, Janine.
It is.
Yeah,
it definitely you. Is. Unless it's done, really, really well. I think there was one last year, and I'm going to forget the brand here, which isn't a good sign. But they did Austin Powers and remade Austin Powers, which was a fun one. But yeah, I think they're hard to do. It's really just doing it because you know that there's a built-in audience, right? There's fans of whatever franchise, show, movie, and you know that at least those people are going to enjoy it.
Who's the worst at making these? Where it comes across your desk, you're like, this isn't going to be good. Who's the M. Night Shyamalan? Like, who is it?
Oh, jeez.
There's so many changes. There's not, you know, one Super Bowl advertiser that's in every year, and they change so much, and there's so many newcomers year after year that it's hard to know what's going to, like, miss. You know, I think, like, the Googles of the world, the Amazons, you typically know that those ads are going to be solid. But you never know. There's misses for sure.
Do you have like a top three campaigns of all time, like top three Super Bowl commercials, or since you started doing this, do you have like off the top of your head, or is that putting you on the spot?
Yeah, no, I mean, I would go back to like the Budweiser Clydesdales ones. Those are classic. I think they did an amazing job at that time of doing what you're supposed to do, of like pulling at an emotion and getting Super Bowl viewers watching. I mentioned the Darth Vader Volkswagen one. That's really like an iconic Super Bowl ad. I think that's really a great one, and people really remember that.
Janine, we appreciate this very, very much. She's an expert, the expert, on the Super Bowl ads that you see every single year. Anything you'd like to promote on the way out, we appreciate your time very, very much. You're great.
No, you can go to Ad Age. You can read about all of our reviews. We do some fun ones at adage.com/Super Bowl, and you'll get all of this fun information there. Lots of videos. You can watch all the ads. If you missed any of them, go rewatch them.
All right. We appreciate your time. We know it's a busy day for you, perhaps the busiest day of the year for you. So we appreciate the 15 minutes that you carved out for us. Thank you very much. Your information was great. So thank you.
Thanks for having me.
A lot's changed over the years. One thing that hasn't, the great taste of Miller Lite. Another thing that hasn't changed is that it's less filling. So what is the best thing about the original light beer? Miller Lite sparked this debate in 1975, and we still haven't settled it. Oh, 1975, what a time! We're a couple years removed from landing on the moon. I bet in the next 3 to 5 years we're gonna have someone on Mars. And what is this, a personal computer? Oh, this is so complicated. Thankfully, Miller Lite keeps it simple. Undebatable quality. Great taste, only 96 calories. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/GBF. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.